Hello and welcome back to The Itinerary. I am Jared Schwartz.
I am Melissa Schwartz.
We're keeping this party rolling, Melissa.
Doing this live podcast.
Another day, another country. Here we are. Episode 41 of The Itinerary for you, live from Bangkok, Thailand. And we're going to get into everything that's going on in Bangkok, spending a whopping 24 hours here. But great accommodations, great food that we've had. So we're gonna get to it all. If you want to follow our journey, check us out on Instagram at The Itinerary Travel. A lot of good pictures and videos. One particular video we're gonna get to on this episode that if you haven't already checked it out, you have to check it out. So go follow at The Itinerary Travel on Instagram. Last week, Maldives. Beautiful. Can't say that enough. Just a jaw-dropping...
Looks like a postcard.
Little slice of paradise. If you can get there, and it's not easy to do. It's truly extraordinary. So our thanks to our hosts at the St. Regis out there in the Maldives. And now we're heading north. We're making our way back eventually. But... right now, episode 41. You ready?
I'm ready.
Let's do it. We are coming to you live from our glorious penthouse, three-story suite here at the fantastic Como Metropolitan. So our thanks to them, great general manager, had a nice chit-chat.
Nice stop-and-chat.
Yeah, nice little stop-and-chat. How do you feel about a stop-and-chat?
I mean, when you have your bags with you and you're getting ready to either go to or from someplace, I'm not always... keen with the stop and chats. I guess it's situational.
Well, I think we're talking about two different things here. We're talking about a stop and chat, but I think you may be hinting at like the doormen who try and take your bags when you're trying to go 2 feet.
Well, also the GM was talking to us when we were trying to wrangle our things as well.
Okay. I can deal with a stop and chat for like 90 seconds. That's my max. Then let's move on.
You want to talk about the doormen trying to wrangle our bags?
I mean, I want to talk about everything. So we're coming to you from Como Metropolitan. So our thanks to them. Like I said, they upgraded us to their penthouse suite, which happens to be a triplex. A lot of stairs. Got a workout in this room.
A lot of stairs.
But a huge space. Some interesting things you don't see every day in a hotel room, like a desktop Mac computer. Two bathrooms.
One of the bathrooms had its own floor.
I'm a fan of that. I am a fan of the split bathrooms. Especially there was like one instance where you were tied up in there. So I didn't have to wait. Just boom, walked down a couple stairs.
I was tied up in there. You make it seem like I was.
You know, whatever. You were taking your time.
All I do is make number one, because I'm a lady, so I don't know what you're trying to infer.
Really?
Really.
I mean, okay. Maybe you're, like, putting your makeup on, or drying your hair, or whatever else you
I feel like
you
say,
ladies
I feel like,
doing
I feel
there.
Like say that rather than tied up, because when you say tied up, it makes it seem like I have explosive diarrhea.
No, that was me on the trip. No, true story. Like, I've literally been in this hotel room... for 21 of the 24
yeah,
hours.
I've been seeing Bangkok by myself because...
I mean, this is an interesting thing. So, you brought it up, so, like, not intentionally, but we'll start here. So, not everything in traveling is easygoing and fun. And when you're away from home, like, it kind of sucks when you get sick. And so, on this trip, we're in our third country. I've been some sort of sick in all of them, I think. And it's kind of lingered on. Luckily, during the flights, I've been okay. But we got to Bangkok last night late, and I wasn't feeling great. And then today, I was feeling even worse. And we had, like, a very big dinner tonight that I know was, like, top on your list. I wanted to experience it well, so I'm like, screw it. I'm staying in this triplex suite. Don't bother me. Like, let me load up on meds. Let me see if I can get through this. And that's what happened. So it's not always enjoyable and it sucks. Like, you only bring like a certain, I'm pretty good at bringing, you know, like over the counter stuff for any and all situations. But sometimes you run out. And that's what happened. So.
And we ran out, and the hotel, the Como Metropolitan, they have a fabulous messenger service. Everything there is dirt cheap, so I sent a messenger for a whopping 90 cents to go pick Jared up some Imodium.
Yeah.
And hopefully that prevents him from pooping his pants. But I do want to say that Jared is forever giving me shit that I don't bring a ton of over-the-counter medicine. But
you don't bring anything.
Without fail, Jared is the one that always needs the OTC stuff.
Somebody's got to be prepared.
My little prima donna.
It's not a prima donna. It's like...
I'm just saying that, like, I understand why you bring the stuff because you inevitably need the stuff.
And what happens when you get sick? You asked me for my stuff, which you did on this trip.
Oh, I had, like, cramps one day, so you gave me Excedrin.
Pepto-Bismol?
You didn't give me any Pepto on this trip.
Aleve?
Jared.
Excedrin?
You gave me one dosage of either Excedrin or Aleve, period, and I would have survived without it.
Well, some of us
Listen,
just like to be prepared.
Pants.
No. Yeah, so shit happens.
Literally. Are you feeling skinny?
No, I don't feel as nauseous as I did, and it's not a comfortable feeling when you're in a foreign land and you're not feeling your best. So whatever, the struggle is real on this trip in many different ways, between an allergic reaction to some kind of viral diarrhea to nausea. Man, I need a vacation.
From your vacation.
Yeah. Okay, so Bangkok. 24 hours here. How did we get here? We flew Air Asia, which, of course, we have a story on it. Malé to Bangkok. You have to connect somewhere if you're trying to get from Malé to go back to the States. Probably two places.
Well, their discount, like, short-haul airline is Air Thai Asia, correct? Which is what we flew for this leg.
Correct.
Because you said Air Asia.
It is Air Asia. It's Thai Air Asia.
Okay.
Depends what name you want to call it. If you're looking at the plane, the writing on the plane says Air Asia.
Okay.
So, yeah, discount airline, 3-3 economy. We got the exit row with a little more space. The flight was, like, half full, so I ended up taking a row of three to myself and laid down. But that wasn't the real story. The real story was prior to getting on the plane and the damn baggage for Air Asia.
That wound up costing us more than our plane tickets.
Yeah. So this is the thing. Like, if you are flying internationally and you don't have a business class long-haul ticket, you're probably flying a discount airline, whether it's in Europe, whether it's in Asia, like this, somewhere. And they're always charging for bags. And when you're going away for a week or even longer, you're usually checking a bag to begin with. So, of course, on these short-haul flights, you have to check the bag as well. So, as I mentioned, we booked the extra leg room, whatever, emergency exit seat. I thought that came with a check bag. Obviously, it didn't, because that's, of course, another separate fee. And then we get there, and I thought they were just telling us that our bags were over the, you know, allowed limit. No, they were telling us, you didn't purchase anything. It's too late to purchase anything online. And therefore, instead of $15 a bag, it's going to be $40 per bag up to a certain point, and then you have to pay per kilogram.
Up to 15 kilos, and our bags were 20 kilos each. So we wound up having to pay $280. And I have a hot temper, and I am keeping cool all through this. And then Jared has the audacity to look at me and say, we messed up. You're like, why don't you audibly laugh? Because you're cracking up right now. But
this is a joint effort.
You let me speak. I previously messed up on an Argentina flight. on an intercity flight in Argentina last December, and you took away my privileges. So you were like, from now on, I am booking everything. And I said, okay, master. And so then you had the audacity to look at me and say, we messed up.
You know what, Melissa? I'm just so used to flying business class, long haul, where it's not even a question. If you want to check a bag, your bag is free. Your second bag's free. Your third bag is free.
First of all,
it really slipped my mind that we were going to have to pay for baggage. Also, and let me finish, that as I say, it's a marital joint effort, that if I go ahead and book the flights, fine. You should want to double check that everything is taken care of.
And what did I do? I then double checked your other flights that you booked us for our trip next month, and I found several errors, which I let you know about.
Which I corrected. Because there's due time.
Because of my help.
However, for this particular flight, you did not double check before we were actually at the airport, correct?
Because you have donned yourself, you know, the airline hero.
I am, just not like paying for bags on these discounted carriers.
Wait, I want to talk about how appalled that porter was from the St. Regis when he found out the airline we were flying. It was like, he was just like, these people are imposters. Why were they staying at our resort?
That's not true. I don't think that's it.
He was like appalled.
No, it's just, he brought our bags to the check-in counter and there's no like business or first class. So it's like economy and economy plus. And he goes, economy plus? And I'm like, yeah, because we purchased the extra legroom, which was true. And then they tell us, oh, you have to pay $280 to check your damn luggage. And I'm thinking, I legitimately thought, because like at this point, it's mostly dirty clothes. Do I just throw the luggage out? Like, do I just get new clothes? Because what is it, bathing suits and t-shirts?
Okay, I did not have that same thought.
Okay. I mean, I did think about it for a while. So that was our experience. And like a tip for you guys, if you are going internationally and you're taking a lot of these short haul, cheap ass flights that I'm sure everybody does, look to see what's included and what's not included. Because if you do get to the airport, like you're at their will. Like they can do whatever they want and it's not going to be the same amount as if you paid in advance. And I look at it a lot of the times with this kind of stuff where I'm not sure what kind of baggage we're going to take. So I kind of wait to do it. And sometimes you do forget, which happened in this case. So yeah, just book in advance. Pay for your bags in advance. So 4.5 hours over to Bangkok. They have two airports there. The big international airport. And then the other one, we flew into the other one, which they're kind of equidistant, both 45 minutes to the city center. Getting a cab was not easy there. It's basically like you're at a grocery store, you're at the deli counter.
You take a number.
Yeah, you take a number. So we got there, girl gives us a number, I think it was 284, they were on 230. And there's no Uber there, there's Grab, which is the same kind of thing. Which I thought I'd mentioned to Melissa to download in advance.
Oh, you did. I just didn't feel like it.
She didn't feel like it. When you get to these airports, Wi-Fi is not a given by any stretch. So we couldn't download it. And so we were stuck and we tried to call the hotel.
I just want to say something. So we couldn't download it, which would mean that we also wouldn't be able to use it. Yeah.
Well, no, that's not true because the app you could download. The problem was you needed a code to set it up.
Oh, okay. I remember.
And if you did it in advance, you would have had the code. The app would have been set. Boom, okay. Plug it in. We couldn't get on the network to get the code. That was the thing.
Okay.
So you just didn't feel like it, even though I asked you to do it? Is that
you also have a cell phone. Like, what is this? What is this episode about? You just doling out orders to me? Yeah.
But why didn't you do it? You just didn't feel like it?
I forgot.
Okay, you forgot, just like I forgot about the bags.
Yeah, except that didn't cost us $280.
It just cost us an hour of our time, and I'm sure the taxi was much more expensive than that Grab, because later in this episode, you'll find out we took a 45-minute Grab, and it cost $4.
Jared, so our taxi cost us $16, so it is.
That's a ton more than four!
Okay, okay.
Quadruple the price! Anyways, okay, so we're staying at Como Metropolitan for a number of reasons. Number one, they upgraded us to a penthouse suite. Number two, they have one of the top, 100 restaurants in the world. Didn't make the top 50 list, but top 100.
Well, so in 2018, it made the world's 50 best. And so the world's 50 best has now extended to the top 120 restaurants. I think now it's like number 67. But so we weren't, our flight wasn't getting into Bangkok until 7:30 p.m. And I really wanted to eat at this restaurant. And I know my audience, and I knew that we weren't going to...
Not you guys, the audience, me.
Hit him being the audience. I knew that whatever hotel we were staying at, like, that's where we would be eating at for the night. So it turns out Nam, which is the restaurant I wanted to eat at, was located in the Como Metropolitan.
In the lobby.
In the lobby.
So, okay, 7:30 flight, customs, immigration, bags, wait in the taxi line. We got there right around 9.
Yeah.
So we wanted to drop our crap off. So we ate at 9:30, which is fine. We weren't the last ones in there.
No.
Tasting menu, they had 3 options, and they were all spicy. a lot of variations on Thai, I guess you would say. Indian influence as well. A very good meal. I know you have the menu. What were some of the items that popped?
The Tom Yum Gong soup.
The soup was excellent. I usually like that soup. Never had it in Thailand before, and the flavors were like pretty explosive.
Yeah.
They were great.
Super spicy, though.
Yeah.
My stomach was feeling it as well after. But one of the things I loved about Nam and that it was a tasting menu is, and I especially just didn't feel like sitting for 3 hours after that flight, everything was brought out very quickly. I counted there were 14 courses, but they would bring 3 courses out at the same time.
It was kind of like family style. Yeah, a mix between a tasting menu and
family
style.
Yeah, it was like a
family
style tasting menu, which I really liked because I felt like we were back in our room by 11 o'clock.
So besides the soup, what were some highlights for you? Remember they had a couple of beef dishes that I really liked?
Yeah. I liked the beginning things. So they had this grilled banana leaf with crab inside, which I thought was excellent. They had ceviche of wild amberjack.
I like that. That was good. That was very spicy as well.
Yeah, their angry beef was stir-fried with Wagyu beef. You really liked that.
Mm-hmm.
And they actually gave you pieces of, like, Wagyu beef. That more looked like steak than like a beef
stir fry
situation. And it was a very good value. I think it was like $110 a person.
So you liked it overall?
I did. I liked it overall. Okay. You?
Yeah, I enjoyed it. I mean, when you said the thing about the hotel and going to the restaurant, like, yeah, I'm 100% in on that. But are you like different? Like, if you're getting a flight that gets in at 7:30, that doesn't mean you're getting to the hotel. Then if you're getting to the hotel at 9 after traveling for X amount of hours, you would want to go out to a different restaurant?
So put it this way, if Nam was not located in a hotel, I would have still wanted to go.
Really? Okay.
Yeah, 100%.
Yeah, not me. So that's good that it was located in the hotel. Mm-hmm. Slept it off. Next day, I mean, I'm not gonna tell you all the touristy things to do in Bangkok because I did 0 of them, and that just happens sometimes. Like, I wasn't feeling great. I wanted to stay in the hotel room, so they had a breakfast there. Didn't eat much of that, and then they were nice enough to give us massages at the hotel. I was not feeling up to it, so Melissa got the massage. They had a nice pool area I saw with daybed type of things,
mm-hmm.
Bungalows, whatever they are.
Yeah, daybeds.
So you had a nice afternoon at just staying at the hotel?
Yeah. I had a really nice afternoon. I think that we had previously been to another part of Thailand before, outside of Bangkok. We went to Chiang Mai. And so in Chiang Mai, they had a ton of temples. I'm not so into temples, and that's like a big thing of Bangkok is to visit temples. So I didn't necessarily feel the need to go do that by myself. Something I really wanted to do was the floating markets. So it's kind of like a night market, but you get on like a little canoe and you're able to purchase things like while you're in the water, and all the vendors are in the water. But unfortunately, they only have that Friday, Saturday, Sunday. And we were there, our full day there was Monday. So wasn't able to do that.
What's the draw of that for you? Like, what do you like about that?
It's just something different. Like, I feel like I've been to a number of places now where they have the markets, the night markets. So I'm like, been there, done that. But the water element is a little something different.
Because I remember the night market in Chiang Mai, and it was just, like, just very crowded.
Yeah.
Like, that's what I thought. And, yeah, you have a bunch of different stuff, but it's, like, repetitive. Like,
yeah,
each stall
has,
like... Yeah,
I was more interested in, honestly, the food vendors. Like, I would have gotten myself lunch there. Like
$1 pad thai,
yeah,
or something?
Yeah, like pad thai, papaya salad. That's what I was interested in doing, but it
wasn't open.
And then the other popular thing is taking tuk-tuks, which is kind of like the peddlers in Central Park, where they are on a bicycle and you sit in the back, but they're in the street. It's also motorized, but it doesn't really feel that safe to me.
Oh, those are motorized?
I believe so.
But like, they're like open air, right?
Yeah, but I feel like they have to be motorized if they're like riding in the street with cars.
You would think.
Yeah.
But
it just makes me concerned, like if you get rear-ended, like we would die. Not to be morbid, but...
But that's something you wanted to do, though.
No, we're talking about, like, what there is to do. Like, I feel like the main attractions are the floating markets. They also have, like, a big shopping mall, which I just wasn't interested in going to. The tuk-tuks people talk about. And the temples.
But you have to go somewhere on the tuk... Like, you take the tuk-tuk to the temple,
yeah.
Basically? Okay. I don't know. Southeast Asia as a whole, and specifically Thailand, Bangkok, whatever. It's not great weather. Like, it's extremely hot and humid.
It depends what kind of weather you like. It's
sure.
It's very hot.
It's not nice weather to me. Like, it's uncomfortable. The air is very heavy. It's hot. It's humid. So, like, sitting in an open-air tuk-tuk to go to a temple... Not my jam. And also, the traffic is absolutely awful.
Yeah, the traffic in Bangkok is the worst traffic I've ever seen. And I looked this up. It's the most visited city in the world.
I did see that. Yeah, so if you wanted to take this tuk-tuk thing, for example, you're just going to be, like, sitting in traffic also because it's on the main road. The traffic was bad. Like... Going to the hotel from the airport wasn't awful because it was 9 o'clock at night, but it's still like, it's not close. So it took like 45 minutes, but we had an experience. So you had your massage and then you laid at the pool, and then we had an early dinner reservation because we had an 11:30 flight.
Well, we have an 11:30 flight.
Yeah. 11:30 flight, to get out of here. And so why don't you set up, the restaurant, how it came about, the backstory on it, before we get into how we actually got there.
Yeah. So, Goggin is on 2019's 50 best, what is it, like the number 4 restaurant in the world? Number 5. Okay. So, as soon as we booked our flight, I want to say it was back in April, to fly through Bangkok on the way back to New York, I was like, oh, done. We're eating at this restaurant. So I made our reservation. And then I want to say about 2 months ago, I get this very peculiar email saying that they're closing indefinitely, blah, blah, blah. And so then I started looking into it. And it turns out that Goggin and his investors were not seeing eye to eye on a number of things. They were supposed to finish out the year. They had another, I guess, disagreement. And he was like, I'm done. So, and I want to say that, like, he was done, like, over the summer. So I became obsessed with finding out, like, what he was going to do because he was on Chef's Table. He's definitely a big name in the chef community. So I was like, there's no way this guy is going to just, like, stop working. He's fairly young.
And he's in Bangkok, but he's Indian.
Yes.
So that's where a lot of his cooking influence comes from, and comes out on the menu. So... Okay, so you were borderline stalking.
Yeah, like I started DMing him and he was like, yeah, I'm working on my own concept. I mean, his employees must really love working for him. I think that only one person did not go with him to his new spot. And so they were also like out of work for 2 months because he was building a place from the ground up. So I find out that this place, he essentially just added his last name to the restaurant. And it opened at the end of October. And so we were able to get a table and I was very happy about that.
Okay. So let's talk about the journey there. We had a 5:30 reservation when you Google mapped it or whatever. Is MapQuest still a thing?
I believe it is.
25 minutes, give or take.
In traffic. That was 25 minutes in traffic. Because when I looked last night,
yeah.
It was, because it's only 4 kilometers, which is like 2.5 miles. And so when I looked last night, it was like a 7-minute drive.
So we ordered a grab and gave ourselves 40 minutes, I would say.
Yeah.
We left, you know, a little bit before 5. We knew something was up when the grab basically was outside our hotel, just had to make one turn and took 10 minutes to get there. So we get in the car, we're taking our luggage with us at this point, and we literally turn out of the hotel and are stuck in traffic for 45 minutes. Like, we needed to make a U-turn to go back the other way. We did not get past our point of the hotel in 45 minutes. So I see Melissa over there freaking out. You know, she's like, what do you want to do? Like, they're going to turn us away. I'm like, they're not going to turn us away. They know we're coming. We have like one of the first reservations where we have a buffer of basically 4 hours. Like, it's going to be okay. So we continue to sit. And then we get into just like a little back and forth with our driver. Our driver doesn't speak English, which a lot of them don't. And he has to whip out the Google Translator. So this is one of the videos. If you go to the Itinerary Travel on Instagram, you can see the video where we're just going back and forth, where he's just typing things in. And it's kind of...
And he's totally able to do this because we are legit in standstill traffic.
Yeah, and... like, we got some of it. We didn't know what. So I was trying to ask him to call the restaurant because I couldn't get the number because there was no Wi-Fi. And it's probably something we should have had, just had the number on hand, but we didn't. So the only way we could have gotten it, because service didn't work either, was for him to get it. So he gets it. He calls. I speak with the receptionist who picks up. I'm like, yeah, we have a 5:30 reservation. At this point, it's 5:45. And she's like, well, where are you? I'm like, I don't know. Like, hold on. Give the phone back. The driver tells where we are. And she's like, hurry. You must hurry. Like, we're going to hold the table for you, but hurry. I'm like, okay, we're going as fast as we can. Didn't think, like, we were going to sit in traffic for over an hour at this point. And so then she calls back after, and she goes, where are you? And I go, we're in the same place we were just 5 minutes ago. And she's like, why don't you guys take a motorcycle? And I'm like, what are you talking about? Like, I'm in a car right now. Number one, we have our luggage with us. Like, our big checked luggage. Number two, where the hell am I supposed to get a motorcycle from? Like, I see them weaving in and out on the street, but am I supposed to get out of this car that I'm in and hail a motorcycle? Is there a place that this Grab driver, which is like an Uber driver, is supposed to drop us off? And then am I supposed to take our checked luggage on the motorcycle? Like, why are you telling me this?
And then I'm just cracking up because I have visuals of me holding my 40 kilo suitcase on the back of a motorcycle, wearing my like form-fitted dress.
It was just unbelievable. Like, lady, what the hell are you talking about? We'll be there when we'll be there. Like, as long as you're going to hold the table, like, we're not that far. We're just stuck in traffic. So luckily, after 45 minutes and making like one turn, it did open up. And we were able to get there.
We were only a half hour late.
I know. That was it. I mean, you were freaking out.
Oh, yeah.
Like, you thought they were just going to say no to us. Are you kidding me?
I did.
They're not going to say no. That's never happened before.
We also don't usually show up places a half hour late.
A half hour is not a big deal. It wasn't like 2 hours late.
Jared, you text me 5 minutes before I'm supposed to meet you and ask me where I am. And I'm like, I'm not late. And you're like, yes, you are, because I'm here already. So how are you going to say that?
Because, like, it's a different situation.
Okay.
Like, we're coming to supposedly spend money at your place. So, yeah, you should hold our table. And we ended up being a half hour late, so not that bad. Let's talk about... So they have two different experiences. They have the regular restaurant and they have the chef's table.
The chef's table is called the G-Spot.
Yeah, it is. Goggin's G-Spot. So that's downstairs. It's a table for 12, I believe, more expensive. And they want you to give 4 to 4.5 hours.
Yeah. And there's only one seating. There's the 7 PM.
I can't sit for 4 to 4.5 hours. I know we did it in the last episode at Decanter in the Maldives, but that is really pushing it. So they wanted us to do it. We had an 11:30 flight. It wasn't going to happen.
Yeah, a 7 o'clock seating for an 11:30. Yeah. You can't do it.
So I had no problem sitting upstairs because, like, just bring me the damn food. Like, it's really more of a show. Like, he...
Yeah, because downstairs, he's there.
He's explaining every dish, where it came from, the inspiration. He's playing music. It's a show. I guess, which is fine when you have nowhere else to be. But... we did.
I mean, if we had more time, I would have wanted to do it. But we didn't. And the
airport was 45 minutes from the restaurant, which we thought it was closer, but it wasn't. And, you know, we'll go back to the actual meal in a second. But we ended up getting out of there 9:15, I want to say. So getting to the airport 10 o'clock. For an 11:30 flight, boarding is an hour before for international. So, I mean, we made it no problem. But if there was any traffic, we were going to be screwed. But it was an awesome meal. Why don't you take us through the whole thing?
Yeah. So, in his previous restaurant, the menu was basically emojis, and like that's what it. Signified pictures, it. And right. It's not all emojis of food. Like one of them was like a sexual emoji, hence like his G-spot room, hence the reason he was not getting along with his investors. He's like very out there. He's a risk taker. He loves to play loud music. I mean, not many chefs on the world's best list that have Michelin stars do the kind of things that he does, which is why, you know, I think he was in series one of Chef's Table, right? Like, he's definitely interesting, an anomaly, etc. So this menu was similar to the emoji theme, but it was a puzzle. And so there were 25 pieces. And so each dish that you had to guess the corresponding emoji to the dish, and if you were correct, you would connect the pieces of the puzzle. But it's very cool because it's like Thai and Indian fares fused together. Jared's making faces.
Not my favorite. I mean, I don't like Indian food. I don't like Indian influence in the food, and that comes with a lot of the spices. I just don't like it. And the second thing is a lot of it's made with nuts, even the sauces. And luckily I didn't get sick at this one, but...
No, I think they were very careful.
Oh, they were extremely careful. But a lot of the stuff in general is usually made with nuts. I just don't like it to begin with. So I wasn't going into it like with a closed mind or anything because this was a highly acclaimed place. Obviously the chef, you know, from his previous restaurant was... number 5 in the world. This was a new thing that he was just opening. Same, you know, obviously he's the same chef, same team, so you expect the same type of things. There were 26 dishes in total.
Well, 25 dishes. We got an extra dish because we're special.
So 26. And, you know, they brought it to you, and then you got to pick the puzzle piece, which you thought it was. I thought it was very good. It didn't blow me away. The food didn't blow me away. I thought the service was very good. I thought the experience was cool. I was just, like, when you go to a place like that, I don't know, maybe it's just me, I'm waiting for that wow factor. And in design and plating and that kind of stuff, I did get that wow factor. But the actual food, which you're there for, I wasn't like, oh, this is the greatest thing I ever ate, or, oh, this is so unique and cool. There were a couple of things. Like, the first bite, which was a yogurt, it was yogurt on a spoon, but it had, like, this Pop Rocks texture to it. So it was, like, exploding in your mouth, which was really cool. And then we kind of had a similar thing with the last dish that we had as well, where you crack something open, and then the flavors just popped in your mouth. But everything in between, you know, dishes 2 through 25, they were really good, but nothing that was that memorable, I think. What was your take on it?
I don't know. I'm looking at some of our pictures right now, yeah. And I think that the presentation was one of the coolest I've ever seen. This Gaggen and then maybe Enigma in Barcelona, I would say, like, presentation wise, like, those are my two favorites. And I'm looking at a picture right now. It's a mini log, and the dish was called Autumn, and the emoji was a leaf. And they basically made like leaves out of foie gras. And it's like, this was like individually painted with maybe some kind of like food coloring or something to like give you the different like textures of leaves. It's truly remarkable. And it's weird. I think your palate changes over time, because I used to really not like foie gras. And the last couple of times I've had it, I haven't minded it. Like, I did not mind this at all. I actually liked it.
I think, like, in small doses, it's okay. It's different. But yeah, a lot of the stuff you mentioned, the leaf one, I remember there was a fish one with like caviar inside, which was cool.
So when he says there's a fish one, it was, I'm looking at it right now, it was kind of like,
a hollowed out
bread consistency,
like a cracker, like crunchy,
yeah,
of a fish,
and it was shaped like a fish, and then they put caviar inside of it.
What were some of the other standouts that there was like a little liquid nitrogen thing going on.
That was the uni.
Yeah, there was an uni dish that was really good.
I thought the desserts were really good. Yeah, I mean, it was on my list for a very long time. So
did it live up to the hype and your expectations?
It did.
Was it a top five meal you've ever had?
Maybe not a top five meal, but top five experience.
Okay. So that always goes along with it, but there's a separation there between experience and food, I would say. So I agree with you. The experience was pretty top notch. So that was Gaggen, and then we headed off, or we're going to head to the airport.
Jared, you must be really fucked up. Where are you?
I don't know. Jet lag. Get me to the lounge. Get me to the lounge. Well, that was a long one. We just landed back in New York after about 34 hours of traveling. When we left you off just a couple of seconds ago, we were talking about our dinner at Gaggen. So since then, in the last 32 hours, I want to talk about the flight experience. So we flew back using points via United. We didn't fly United at all. But it was a combination of United points and Chase points that were transferred. And we bought one-way business class tickets from Bangkok to New York via Beijing. And you're like, well, why did you fly to China just to go back to the U.S.? Well, first of all, there's no direct flights from Bangkok to the U.S., which I was very surprised at.
Especially since it's the
most visited, huge city. There used to be their talks about bringing them back, but at the current moment, there are none. So you have to fly through somewhere. And the options, using points, trying to fly business, were pretty limited. So we flew Thai Airways from Bangkok to Beijing, 4-hour flight. It was a 222 business class. It was not lie flat. It was angle flat.
And when Jared says 33222, that just means the seats, right?
So, yeah.
So I'm just saying for people that aren't like aviation geeks like yourself.
Yeah, those are the seats. So preferably what you would want is everybody to have aisle access. So in order to have that, you would have to have 1-2-1 in the seatings, which a lot of them do. But some of the older planes, and just depends on the airline how they want to set the seats up, have the 2-2-2 or the 2-3-2 or whatever. So that basically means whoever's sitting in the window has to jump over the other person to get out. And when you're, you know, on a 12-hour, 14-hour, 15-hour flight, and you're lying down, like, sometimes it makes it a little tricky, and it's dark, and stuff like that, but that's kind of the setup. So these were angle flat seats, which are the older kind. They go about 3/4 of the way down, not a fully flat seat. It's certainly doable for 4 hours. I wouldn't want to do it for 14 hours, that's for sure.
When you're a smaller person, like I'm 5'2", I honestly couldn't tell the difference.
Oh, really?
Yeah.
My feet were hitting the ground, so there was no cushion support under the
bottom part of your legs. Yeah, I never...
And then the seat wasn't working at first. Obviously, we just came from this 26-course meal, so we skipped the meal service. On the flight, it was an overnight flight, a little bumpy. It was on the 777-300, so a pretty big plane. And then in the Beijing airport...
hell. Pure hell.
Pure hell? Really? That bad?
Oh, yeah.
Why?
Well, I wanted to get a hotel room, and you did not want to do that. You told me that there would be beds in the first class lounge. There were no beds. I then made myself a bed of 2 chairs in the lounge, and you humiliated me and video filmed when my foot cramped, and I look like I'm a meth head.
I didn't think it was that bad.
For anyone who's seen this video, I swear to you, my face is not that fat. It was like I ingested an entire pound of salt or something. I was so bloated. I'm like delirious.
All right, let's go back a couple of steps here.
So mean.
So it was, we got...
No apps. I was correct when I said it before. Couldn't use anything.
It's China. They rule the world.
Yeah, okay.
It wasn't like we had 15 hours of a layover. We had 6. So with that 6, you board an hour before your flight, number one. Number two, yes, when I looked online, the Air China lounge did say that they had beds, which they were supposed to. It didn't say they were under construction. Also, there was a business class lounge and a first class lounge, and I found out that using Priority Pass, you can actually go into the first class lounge without a first class ticket. So I wanted to check that out. It ended up being the exact same thing because I went into the business class lounge as well. It was just a lot less crowded in the first class lounge, and that's probably why you were able to put 2 lounge chairs together and try and take a nap. It's not worth it for me for 5 hours to get a hotel. Number one, did you see the line?
Yes.
That was...
To leave.
Yeah. So there's 2 lines. There's one to enter the country, and there's one to enter the country for under 24 hours. When we got off the plane at 6 in the morning, the line to enter the country for 24 hours and subsequently get a airport hotel or whatever the case may be was about 200 deep. And there was nobody there yet, so it wasn't even open. So if you did that, you waited on the line, then you got the hotel, and then you had to come back into the airport, go through security again, check your bags, wait, do all that stuff, and get to the gate for boarding an hour before. You're talking like 3-4 hours max. Not worth it to me.
It was just a terrible experience.
Okay, that's fair. Wasn't that terrible for me. Took a shower.
It's so weird.
The first class lounge, the showers, like everything else, was under construction. So I walked over to the business class lounge. beautiful shower setup. I was very impressed because the lounge was nothing to write home about. They had some massage chairs in there, which was cool. And it was quiet, which was nice, so you could doze off a little bit, but the food sucked. And yeah, I was pleasantly surprised with the shower. It was big, it was clean. If you're going on a 14, 15 hour trip, and you just flew all night, I want to be fresh. I want to change my clothes. And so that's what I did. You had no interest in doing that, but
I'm your dirty wife.
It's there
in more ways than one.
It's there if you want it. They have attendants down there cleaning after every person. So
great. That's a big plug for the Air China Lounge in Beijing.
Yeah.
Thanks for sponsoring us. You probably can't even get this podcast in China, but thank you. Thank you for your shower. We appreciate it.
Actually, you can.
Okay.
Because I was listening. Secondly, okay.
Wait, you were listening to your own podcast? You're fucking ridiculous.
Yes, I was. I like the sound of my own voice. Okay, so Air China. We flew back on the Queen of the Skies, the 747. Now, the 747, as many of you know, is an older plane. It's been around since the 1970s. It's what Air Force One has. And they've recently been retired from many of the airlines. United retired theirs. Delta retired theirs. There was a new version of the 747 that came out. It's the 747-800. And that's what we flew. So some of the airlines who still fly this, the 747, are flying the older versions, like a British Airways or a Virgin Atlantic. But there's only three airlines that currently fly the new version, and Air China is one of them. So I was interested to see what it was like. We were up on the upper deck. I made sure of that. The upper deck here is very different than the A380, which we flew on Emirates, in that it's only about seven rows. That's it. This was set up in a 2-2 situation, and it was quiet up top. Like, you walk up the stairs, and you had dedicated flight attendants that were only up there. I thought the service was very good on that flight. I was surprised at it. The food was so-so. It was okay. Could have been better. Could have been worse, I thought. We previously flew on China Southern. When we came back the last time, I thought this was a lot better. It was 14 hours. You know, whatever. Watched a couple movies. Had a couple drinks. Ate the food, they had a dinner service, and then they had snacks if you wanted. They had some ramen, which was pretty good, and then they had a lunch before you landed. You slept most of it, so
yeah.
good for you, as you usually do. Put that eye mask on, and you were out.
That's right, guys, and just go to Facebook to see all of the embarrassing images, what was it, the collage that you made of my various eye masks in the friendly skies?
Yeah, it's a very nice thing
to have. I always wanted a man to take pictures of me when I was sleeping. I never knew
in public
that he would post it all over the internet as a way to make fun of me, but you are always surprising me, Jared.
I try my best.
Yeah. Gotta keep things interesting.
14 hours on that flight, 32 hours overall. I'm dead tired. I don't know about you, but that's it for this episode. So we will talk to you next time. Bye.
Bye.